Amen. Thanks, everybody. Please be seated. On from three quarters of Revelation from 2 weeks ago, where it said Revelation 3 and 4 up there. And then we went to 5/6 of Revelation, where it said Revelation, or maybe it was 7/8 or 8/9, I can't remember now. So today we're just reading one chapter. It's not too bad. Everybody doing all right? Rumor has it it's actually going to begin to warm up again this week. I'm all for that. We've been noting, all of our world travelers are back. I mean, Sally was in Edinburgh and Paris, and Lynn was in, she was in Italy and Florida, and Mr. Malikan there was in South Carolina, which is a foreign country for most of us. And Myrtle Beach. He was on a holy excursion. Each place he visited had at least 18 of them. I'm hoping my mom and dad, who spend all winter in Florida, leave tomorrow to come back. And at the end of my retreat, and it's a strange week because I'm going to take Karen lunch on Monday, and then I'm meeting with my covenant group, and we're essentially on retreat. But when one of the members of your covenant group is a district superintendent, occasionally, when he has an opportunity to have all four of you in the same place, he puts you to work. And we're actually going to spend one of our evenings in Plattsburgh, New York, consulting with a church there. We'll see how that goes. That could be really interesting or intriguing. My friend Aaron is going to, this is a fairly staid and fairly traditional congregation, and we're going to give them a rock and roll worship service, and I'm going to preach. And then after they've cooled the tar down and put the feathers away, we'll have a conversation about what it is God might be calling us to. Revelation 12, as we continue our journey through the book of Revelation, has some extraordinary images in it, and I'm going to unpack a few of them for you. But as I was reading it today, I really got, as often happens to me when I'm reading the Bible, I got drawn into one little piece of it. I mentioned we're going to talk about wilderness today, and see if you can't pick up how the wilderness plays into this particular story. Now, I'll tell you ahead of time, so you're not waiting in anticipation about what some of this stuff means, that the dragon is the devil. That makes it easy to remember. So dragons are bad, if you were wondering. There's a car that my wife and I walk by whenever we take our normal walk in Liverpool, New York, that has a bumper sticker that says, "Beware, do not meddle in the affairs of dragons, for you are crunchy and go good with ketchup." It isn't that kind of dragon. There's a woman in the first part of the story. This woman represents Israel, and the child she's giving birth to is Jesus. When we get to the second part of the reading, the woman is now the church. And so don't get too confused by those two references as we move forward. A great portent appeared in the heavens. I'm in chapter 12, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 6 and then jump over to 13. A great portent appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This is Israel. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs in the agony of giving birth. Then another portent appeared in heaven, a great red dragon. We should all boo and hiss at that point, probably. All right, very good. With 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. It's a nasty-looking creature. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. And then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, as you know from Matthew, right, there's that, and from Luke, there's that crazy guy, King Herod, who tried to kill the child. as soon as he was born. You know that, right? And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was snatched away and taken to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God so that she could be nourished for 1,260 days. Don't worry about it. Verse 13. So when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. She escapes on eagle's wings. So that she could fly from the serpent into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. 2.5 years. Then from his mouth the serpent poured water like a river after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman. It opened its mouth and swallowed the river and the dragon had poured from his mouth. And then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her children, those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus, right? The church is what we're talking about there. Yeah, Revelation, I think one of the challenging things for modern readers is that it's written in a style of literature that nobody writes in anymore. I was talking to Sally on our way back from the funeral yesterday and thinking, wouldn't it be interesting to write some documents in the apocalyptic style? And people would be, again, asking, what are you smoking? What mushrooms are you eating? Because it would have that same kind of effect on them, as I think often reading the book of Revelation does for us. The thing about that style of literature, just briefly, is that it's written in language that it's...